This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
For the last couple of years, and certainly from October 2023 onwards, the term dehumanization, or in Arabic, التجريدُ من الإنسانية, has been thrown about a lot, and for good reason. Since this time, our children particularly have been exposed to narratives that a lot of them have not experienced before. They are seeing scenes of bloodshed and cruelty and double standards that they have never experienced. A lot of our children are hearing references to us as being, and I quote, human animals since the onslaught and genocide on Gaza. They have heard expressions, and I quote, the children of darkness, referring to us as people who abide by the law of the jungle. They have seen how the colors of the Israeli flag are shone on the White House in solidarity and tribute with those killed in the Israeli entity, though not a word of condemnation is uttered. When thousands are systematically killed or maimed or tortured, starved, and in recent cases we come to hear of rape as well. No one talks of this. Our children are exposed to those narratives. They hear the spokesman of the Israeli Air Force saying that our priority is maximum damage, not accuracy. And they hear the president of the Israeli entity saying there is no such thing as an innocent Palestinian civilian. All of them are legitimate targets. They make references to the Amalek, or in English we call them, they call them the Amaleks, meaning therefore that male, man and woman, child, animal are all legitimate targets, and the international community nods in approval. Our children are hearing stark differences in language used in the media, where Israelis are killed, but the Palestinians, they just die. They hear of the routine expression of mowing the grass in reference to the periodic onslaughts of the Israeli entity on the people of Gaza. They say it's mowing the grass, therefore comparing them to weeds that need to be cut back every now and then. Our children are hearing this. Our children are also seeing how Muslim voices and Palestinians and their likes are being represented in such a biased way by the media. They see how you are only allowed to speak in the media and will only be respected if you're there to speak about your suffering, your pain. You must only be a victim. But don't you dare be an analyst. Don't you dare claim to be a professional. Don't you dare claim to have an opinion or be an expert. You only speak about your suffering and then you leave. And you also need to be the perfect victim. The perfect victim, meaning before you will be respected by the presenter, you need to offer a whole host of condemnations to whoever it may be before then you will be given a few minutes of airtime. Dehumanization is the name for a process whereby human beings are deemed as subhuman and treated accordingly. Similar to how the Jews experienced this at the hands of the Nazis when they were deemed as subhuman, or how the colonizers deemed the natives of those areas as savages. And the purpose of dehumanization is to create a moral and an emotional disconnect so that you don't feel sorry when the ethnic cleansing or the genocide happens at an industrial scale. This is the purpose. Beneath all of what I have just introduced is something in my eyes equally troubling and equally problematic. The impact that this type of exposure is having on our children. When with the passage of time, seeing enough bloodshed, enough killing, enough children blown to pieces, enough news of Muslims who are starving, enough double standards of the application of international law, one law for this group and this law for another, the impact this has on our children when they begin to slowly accept that this is perhaps who we are. Perhaps this is what we are worthy of. Perhaps indeed we are subhuman. As Gideon Levy, he said, an Israeli journalist in the Israeli newspaper called Haaretz, who said that to most Israelis, the Palestinians are not just subhuman, they are sub-animal. He said the 30,000 fatalities in Gaza to date, to them, are just a number, nothing more. What is this having? What type of impact is this having upon your child and mine? A few weeks ago, I saw my child, a five-year-old, the youngest, walking around with his arms out of his sleeves, flapping the sleeves. I said, "Baba, what are you doing?" He said to me, "I'm just trying to imagine how I'm going to feel when I am bombed and I lose my arms like my cousins in Gaza." And though as parents we try very hard to shield their eyes and shield their ears from constant exposure to brutality, but how much can you do when most of their family has gone? So I ask the question again, what type of impact is this happening on them? Is this having on them? When with the passage of time you begin to accept that this is a portrayal of reality, this is my identity, I must accept it, I will not be enraged by a media bias, I will not be enraged by the sight of blood, it is normal to see Muslim children or Arabs or their likes being killed. And this is an inferior ummah that can never lead if it grows with this type of mentality. So with this in mind, my brother, my sister, I want to share with you a quick tour of ayat and ahadith to reintroduce ourselves to ourselves. Who are you as a Muslim in the eyes of the maker of the universe? Away from the opinions of man, away from the descriptions of the BBC or the CNN or Channel 4. Who are you in the eyes of the King, Al-Malik, the Sovereign Allah? And what does it mean to be part of the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam? For those of us who only see themselves through the lens of the media, come with me for a moment, my dear brother, as I share with you these beautiful narrations on a tour of self-discovery and for you to know who you truly are. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, he said, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. You, O Muslims, are the best of communities ever raised for humanity. تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. You encourage the good, you forbid the evil, and you accept Allah as your Lord. So you are the people chosen by Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, my brother. You know the way, and you go the way. And you show the way. It is for this ayah that you just heard, how Allah has chosen us, why genocidal talk doesn't appear in our kalam, in our rhetoric. Why racism is not part of our dictionary. Why we are the people who always included the minorities and saved them from persecution, a chapter in our history that we are proud of. This is why we pardoned when we had the upper hand. Why we don't have anything in our scripture that encourages the targeting of children, because this is the character of a leader. A leading nation does not talk like this, and we are the ones chosen by Allah and given the mandate, entrusted with the welfare of humanity. خير أمة أخرجت للناس. That is you. Ibn Majah narrates on the authority of Muawiyah al-Qushayri that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, أنتم موفون سبعين أمة أنتم خيرها وأكرمها على الله. He said, you, O Muslims, are the last of 70 nations to walk this earth. However, you are the greatest and most noble of those nations in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, the believer occupies a position of honor and karama with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he was to be aware of its reality, his heart would skip a beat and would flutter with joy. His heart and his soul would soar with ecstasy and bliss to know of your position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you would long and yearn to meet him today before tomorrow to embrace this position in full. This is how you are to see yourself. A leader of humanity, chosen by Allah and loved by him. How cherished must you be as a Muslim for Allah Jalla Jalaluhu to announce, مَنْ عَادَى لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Any person who shows enmity towards an ally of mine, I, Allah Almighty, will declare war on him. How cherished must you be as a Muslim in the eyes of Allah for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to say, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَقَتْلُ مُؤْمِنٍ أَعْظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ زَوَالِ الدُّنْيَا. I swear by the one who possesses my life, the killing of a single believer. Don't allow bloodshed to be normalized in your eyes. The killing of a single believer in the eyes of Allah is more severe than the destruction of the entire dunya. Those 30,000 plus are not numbers. How cherished must you be in the eyes of Allah for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to say, لو أن أهل السماء وأهل الأرض اشتركوا في دم مؤمن لأكبهم الله في النار. He said, if the people of the heavens and all of the people on the earth were to gather to kill a single believer, Allah would not hesitate to toss them all into the hellfire. This is your position in the eyes of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Who can take that away? And for those of us who are still not sure about who we truly are, you will come to know towards the end of time when Isa, Jesus, son of Mary, alayhi salam, will descend as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam described and prophesied. He told us how he will descend from the heavens at a time known to Allah, wearing his beige robe, his fine hair, glistening as though pearls were dropping from his head, alayhi salatu wasalam, his hands resting on the wings of angels. It is such a spectacle when he arrives there in Damascus, in the east of Damascus, next to the white minaret. That is where he will arrive. And when he comes down and the world is watching and the Christians are there to receive him, they have spent thousands of years worshipping this individual, alayhi salatu wasalam, and everyone is waiting to see where will he walk, whom will he place his hands with, and they see Prophet Isa arriving and taking a path with the Muslims. And will insist to pray behind one of us in salah, to hear the Quran of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, فَيَنْزِلُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ. He said, alayhi salatu wasallam, Jesus, son of Mary, will arrive. فَيَقُولُ أَمِيرُهُمْ. The leader of the Muslims at the time will say to Isa, تَعَالَ صَلِّ لَنَا. Come, O Prophet of Allah, lead us in salah. He will say, لا, no. إِنَّ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ أُمَرَاءَ. You are the leaders of one another. تَكْرُمَةُ اللَّهِ لِهَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. Because Allah has honored this nation, he will say. You lead me in prayer. You are the leaders. So whatever you feel that your self-esteem and your sense of self-worth is being crushed because of the hypocrisy and the double standards and the istihana, the belittlement of Muslim lives, and the biased media coverage and the lack of representation. Remember these narrations. And remember these prophecies. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi wahdahu wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Whenever you feel down from a moral perspective because of what you see the media describing as you being a second or a third class citizen or human being on this globe, ask yourself, my dear brother, my dear sister, a series of questions. Ask yourself the question, what way of life, what system, what religion out there is it that opens its doors for all people of all backgrounds to embrace its fold should they wish to choose so, if not Islam? Which way of life is it that informs every aspect of your development, every stage of your growth, and every aspect of your life? that has remained without transformation, without editing, identical to itself since day one, if not Islam. Which way of life is it that lays claim and honors, reveres, acknowledges every prophet from the first of them, Adam, to the last of them, Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, if not Islam? Which way of life is it that claims to have the verbatim word of Allah Almighty as He spoke it, la ilaha illahu, in their midst, if not Islam? Which way of life is it, other than ours, that informs aqidah, belief, theology, informs ruhaniyat, ibadah, spirituality, informs personal conduct and ethics, informs civil law, informs foreign policy in such a harmonious and intricate manner that it is clearly beyond human sophistication, if not Islam, la ilaha illallah? This is your religion that you subscribe to. Which way of life is it that has survived the test of time? Which philosophy out there that has survived critique, criticism, like the religion of Islam has survived, despite us today living in an age of science, information, technology, discovery, when people have become disillusioned with their own religions, leaving their faith in droves? They see it incompatible. During the same phase, we see droves of people choosing Islam at a time of atomic breakthroughs and exploration of outer space. This is the religion of Allah, tanzeelun min hakimin hamid. Which way of life other than Islam is it that has proven its ability to provide peace, to provide tranquility, to provide inner calm, which every other religion claims? Which religion has proven its potency and capability of delivering it as Islam has done there in the heart of Gaza? The world has seen Islam star rising, with young and old and educated and otherwise saying, in the peak of tragedy and at the epicenter of adversity, they say, Alhamdulillah, this is the decree of Allah, we are content with His decision. What religion has succeeded in producing this type of generation but Islam? And perhaps you all came across the TikToker, A White British lady, who spoke amazing words earlier on in the war as she wept behind her mobile phone, saying, they say that a tree is known by its fruits. She said, if there is a God, I believe that the Muslims and the Palestinians are the people of God. She said, I see evidence of God in their behavior. So if there is a God, those are His people. Which religion has Yawm al-Jum'ah, the day of Friday? That is our day. The greatest day of the week was given to us, though it was offered to nations before us. Allah chose us for the day of Jum'ah. We are the ones whom Allah has blessed with Salatul Isha. No other nation prayed Salatul Isha. That is unique to us. Allah has gifted you with Laylatul Qadr, a night that is better than 80 years of ibadah. Add it to your scales. No other nation had that. We are the people whose salah, whose prayer resembles the form of the angels. They pray like we do. We are the ummah that Allah Almighty sends a mujaddid, a revivalist, every 100 years to rejuvenate its state of affairs. That is unique to you. Ours is the greatest religion. Ours is the greatest ummah. Ours is the most distinguished messenger. And ours is the most profound scripture. Alhamdulillah that Allah has chosen us. So why see yourself in a different light? Yawm al-Qiyamah, however, this will be when we will realize the true value of a Muslim. There, when the sun hangs dangerously low 1 mile above your head, and the first of and the last of humanity are gathered in a single expanse of land, and man will flee from his wife and siblings from one another, and prophets and messengers from their nations, fear, terror, uncertainty will be the mood of the hour. And then paradise and hellfire are laid bare for humanity to see their two destinations. Then when it's time, Allah Almighty will descend in a manner that is befitting of His majesty and glory to begin the judgment. And amidst all of this, an announcement is made. Ahmad narrates on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنْ يَصْدَعَ بَيْنَ خَلْقِهِ When Allah decides that it is time to begin the judgment between people on the day of reckoning, نَادَى مُنَاد A caller will call, أَيْنَ أَحْمَدُ وَأُمَّتُهُ Where is Muhammad and his ummah? He said, فَنَحْنُ الْآخِرُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ Therefore we are the last and we are the first. He said, we are the last nation to walk the earth, but we will be the first for Allah Almighty to relieve us from the pain of the Day of Judgment. And then he said, imagine, فَتُفْرَجُ لَنَا الْأُمَمُ عَن طَرِيقِنَا Then the nations of the world, when they hear our name being called out, they will split into two parts. The nations will split into two parts, creating a path. He said, فَنَمْضِي غُرًّا مُحَجَّلِينَ مِنْ أَثَرِ الْوُضُوءِ أَوْ مِنْ أَثَرِ الطُّهُورِ And we will cross between the nations, making our way to our Lord, and they will be observing us with light emanating from our faces and our hands, radiant with light. And then the nations will say in awe and amazement, كَادَتْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةُ أَن تَكُونَ أَنْبِيَهَا كُلَّهَا That nation was almost prophets in its entirety. That nation, you, was almost prophets in its entirety. That day, you will know what your value is and what your value was before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not as what was described by this agency or that. Then the Prophet of Allah, Nuh, will stand before Allah for his interrogation. Allah will ask him, هَلْ بَلَّغْدَ Did you convey your message to your people? He will say, yes, my Lord, I conveyed. Then Allah will turn to the people of Nuh. Did he convey the message? And they will lie. And they will say, مَا جَاءَنَا مِن نَذِيرٍ No warner ever came to us. No messenger was sent. They want to save their necks from Jahannam. So Allah will say to Nuh alayhi salam, مَن يَشْهَدُ لَكَ Who will testify for you? Who will support your case? He will say, Muhammad wa ummatuh. Muhammad and his community will testify that I conveyed. So Allah will bring us and he will ask us and we will say, Prophet Nuh has conveyed to his people, O Allah. You are a witness for the prophets and messengers on Yawm al-Qiyamah. That is your status. Why walk in the street with your head down in shame and disgrace? This is your position. Raise your children upon these meanings. Then the bridge is established on the back of Jahannam. Who will be the first to cross, I wonder? وَيُضْرَبُ الصِّرَاطُ بَيْنَ ظَهْرَي جَهَنَّمْ فَأَكُونُ أَنَا وَأُمَّتِي أَوَّلُ مَنْ يُجِيزُ He said, the bridge will be established on the back of Jahannam, and I and my ummah will be the first nation to cross over into Jannah. And there is another surprise waiting for the believer. When we discover that amongst us, there are around 70,000 who will be chosen just from this ummah to enter Jannah with no suffering or accountability. At-Tirmidhi narrates on the authority of Abu Umama that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَعَدَنِي رَبِّي أَنْ يُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي سَبْعِينَ أَلْفًا لَا حِسَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا عَذَابٍ Allah has promised me that on the day of judgment, He will nominate 70,000 from my ummah to enter Jannah with no suffering and no accountability. And then he said, مَعَ كُلِّ Alfin sab'una alfa, and from every 1,000, from the 70, another 1,000. Allahu Akbar. He said, وَثَلَاثُ حَثَيَاتٍ مِنْ حَثَيَاتِ رَبِّي And on top of that, three handfuls from the handfuls of my Lord. Umar, he said, Allahu Akbar, when he heard this. Allahu Akbar. That is unique to you. That is unique to your ummah. No other ummah will have this. And will you be happy to know that if Allah Almighty allows us to enter Jannah, we, the Muslims, will be 50% of the population of Jannah. He said to his companions, would you be happy if you were a quarter of the people of Jannah? They said, we would be. He said, would you be happy if you were one third of the people of Jannah? They said, we would be. He said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ إِنِّي لَأَرْجُ أَن تَكُونَ نِصْفَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ I swear by Allah who possesses my life, I hope that you will be half of the people of Jannah. In conclusion, my brother, my sister, and I leave you with this, raise your children with these meanings. Raise their morale. Raise your children to be people of morality and virtue, adab, akhlaq, dignity in this depraved world of ours. Don't allow your children to see themselves, despite the brutality and the normalization of killing. Don't allow your children to see themselves in any light other than what I just described for you. It is normal that an ummah like ours will experience adversity and genocides and ethnic cleansings and killing. It's normal. We are to expect this. We are the leaders of humanity. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that we as Muslims are not leading humanity at any time in the period of history, Allah will send us painful events to shock us and to jolt us back onto the path of leadership that Allah intends. Raise your children and remind them. It's the finest of people who are tested in life. Tell them this. Tell your child that it is the finest of metals that experience the fiercest of fires. Tell them how it is the brightest lights in life that draw the deepest shadows. Tell them how it is the tree that is filled with fruits that attracts stones. Tell them how precious things in life are challenged. They are not ignored. We are attracting adversity not because we are weak, but because we are worthy. This is how they see us, so you must see yourself in the exact same light.